This is a Pinball News production.
All right, so listen, everybody, welcome. Could somebody close that back door? Listen, I'm feeling really good tonight, really good. I'm full of what you call your piss and vinegar. I'm feeling really good. I got to do a couple laps around this room just to calm down a little bit. I've been up since 1:30 in the morning. And I just came in from Jersey. Everybody, really, thank you all for being here. Thank you, everybody. Welcome to Pinball Expo. Butch, you all queued up?
You bet.
Butch here is going to do the video, and then we have some camera work. So we didn't get a chance to practice in this room, so we might be technically challenged. But it's always fun to see what happens. How many people are first time to Pinball Expo? Wow. So that's really great. You know, many years ago, we would have all the regular people here, where we still have our regular people here, but now we have so many women, children, families, new people coming into the hobby and into the industry and the business. Pinball is alive and well. And we are really proud to help pinball be alive and well. And the more companies you have making great pinball machines, the more pinball the world will get to love. And I want to thank, I know Mike Pasak's probably not in the room. Mike, are you in the room? So Mike's not in the room. And I wanted to thank Mike and Rob and Bridget Burke. Rob, thank you and your wife for your hospitality. And putting on a great show. I'd like to recognize our CEO, Joe Harbor. Where is he? Could you stand up there? He's already standing up. Joe's been doing amazing things to move the company forward into the future. And the whole company, including myself, are very thankful to him. I don't have to do everything anymore. It's really great. I've gotten a lot of my life back, which is really wonderful. I get to focus on the things that I'm really good at and the things that I really love. So that's a blessing. I'd like to also ask all of the Jersey Jack employees, vendors, contractors, distributors, just stand up for one moment. Just stand up. Thank you. So, thank you. This is not a company of me. Okay, I founded the company. I get that it's named after me. This company only runs because we're a team. We may not agree all the time, but we're a family. And it's we. It's not about me or I. It's about us and we. And the people that worked on this game, it's just amazing how proud I am to have started this company. It was just, a little chemical thought that went in my brain a few years ago, and it became something more amazing than I even thought it could be. And I'd like to acknowledge J.P. DeWin, John Yousey, Dave Thiel, Keith Johnson, Ted Estes, Mike Vinicor, Wally Welsh, Fernando Hurtado, Eric Meunier, Yolanda Winston, Joe Katz, J.T. Harkey, Mike Peters, Dan Molter, Tony Tuminario, and Thaddeus Pachiacchia. I think I got that right. And, you know, I get that it's really dangerous to acknowledge individuals because you might forget them, but I really want to thank the distributors that we have in the company all over the world. These are people that gave us money, believed in us, waited, dealt with customers for 2 or 3 years, waiting for games. God bless all of you. Thank you. You're with us, and we're one family together, and I truly appreciate you, and we all appreciate you. So thank you to all our distributors, our vendors, our contractors, everybody. Thank you. And tonight's really about the future of pinball. And Butch, you could start going along. I guess Rome wasn't built in a day. My dad likes to say it was built at night. But I have to say that when in the past, I introduced the game, you pretty much had to wait for it for 3 years. Tonight we get to introduce a game, and it's 3 feet away from us. In a few minutes, we'll unveil our latest game, and it's an amazing accomplishment that could have only happened because of the team commitment and the financial backing of my partner, Leonard Abbas, and his family who are here tonight. Thank you, guys. God bless you. You know, we've all worked really hard to get where we are, and I don't think we're anywhere yet. I really don't. I think the company has so much room to grow. We could sell so many more games. People don't know about pinball machines. They don't even know they're still built. We have a lot of work to do. You know, if we were trying to sell Coca-Cola and everybody had Coca-Cola, that would be a hard thing to do, so they create a million other flavors. Well, we have a different challenge in pinball. Once people start playing our games, they're hooked. By a show of hands, who has a Jersey Jack pinball machine? Pretty cool. Well, I could tell you this, that if you love pinball, there is no way that you will not love Pat Lawler's next game. There is no way. And that's not a big overstatement by somebody trying to sell something. I'm not trying to sell anything. It's easy to really sell our games. What we have here is the future of pinball. This is at our factory, one of our receiving rooms. This is one of the showrooms. We get young people come to the factory all the time. Boys, girls, women, children, babies. And they love pinball. Every time they come, they're just amazed at what we do and how we do it. We lead them on tours. They're extremely interested in what's going on. And it's a lot of fun. That's in my office. I was actually signing a bunch of parts that we were going to toss somewhere, and after I sign it, apparently it becomes a collectible. So we were happy to make them happy. And there's a whole group of them. That was this summer. That was great. And we get a lot of them. We don't turn anybody down that wants to come to the factory. Keep going, Butch. We're still building our flagship game, The Wizard of Oz. We continue to sell Wizard of Oz games every single day. And we set up a second assembly line in the building, and we're cranking out Wizard of Oz games. And I don't really see an end in sight for Wizard of Oz. It's just a great, timeless game, and it's become beloved for everyone who has the game. Hobbit. So this is a game that we're building about 15 a day right now, and we have about 300 orders still left to fill on pre-orders. And I expect, you know, in the next several weeks, everybody will have their games, I believe, certainly by holiday time. This year, I think Christmas and Hanukkah fall the same day, so maybe Santa Claus bumps into Hanukkah Harry somewhere. So, it's pretty cool. It's an interesting thought. I'm proud, really, tonight to say that on our website tonight, due to our programmers and all their efforts and their amazing work they've done in the depth of this game, I mean, Keith and Ted and you know, JT and Joe, you know, these guys are just amazing. They live and breathe games, great games. And, you know, Keith is an amazing gamesmith, we know. I don't want to put him above anybody else. Christine, I know you're a big fan. But we all appreciate that. So tonight, we're going to put on the website the final Hobbit code will be released. There may be some additions, there may be some bug fixes, that kind of thing. But, it's pretty much final. Hobbit, still rolling off the line. Still going along. A lot of games going out, which is pretty cool. I wonder what that picture is. Let's unveil that game there. You want to do the honor? Let's start taking the wraps off some of these games, and we could have that on. So, go ahead, Butch. Move it one. move on to another one. So we have about 750 Hobbit games that are not sold yet. After tonight, there's going to be maybe 250 left. So I've announced a Black Arrow Special Edition game. This game has all different and new cabinet graphics. It has black ink body armor, black pinballs, black flip-a-bats, black rubber rings, Black Arrow attract mode graphics, and some other things that are on the game that are pretty cool. You'll all get a chance to see it and play it. The game really looks beautiful. You could skip that, Butch. You could skip that, too. Just keep going. So our acronym for this game is BASE, BASE, Black Arrow Special Edition. Games will be numbered 1 to 750. They're $8,500, and they'll be shipping in November, okay? And if you want to, you know, order one, you can order one through your distributor as of tonight. They'll be up on the website. And the game is a phenomenal game. You know, when we were building Wizard of Oz, we said we want to build the greatest pinball machine ever. And that's how you have to be motivated. And when we did Hobbit, we said, you know, Wizard of Oz is going to be the worst game we ever did. Well, we continue to improve, and tonight you'll see the result of that as well when we unveil the next game. Let's keep going. So anybody know who this guy is? So Pat Lawler, since it's Throwback Thursday, I found an old picture of Pat on the internet, which was pretty easy to find. This is kind of like the Pat Lawler I knew of. I didn't know him. I knew of him when I was an operator in Brooklyn operating games. And really, that's around 1990. It's whirlwind time somewhere in there, I think, that picture. And, you know, Pat designed games with his team that made money for operators. And, you know, there really was not that rock star thing about designers at that time, right? We bought Bally, Williams, Gottlieb, whatever it was, but I started noticing something, and once I noticed it once, you don't have to knock me over with it. The games that Pat designed actually made a lot of money, and every time I brought them into a location, it was like bringing a Ferris wheel in. I remember bringing a Funhouse in, and Rudy said, "Funhouse!" And the place went nuts, and it was like bringing a Ferris wheel in, and all the game did was fill up with money, and that fed my family, and I thank Pat for that. Little did I know, you can go one more. So Pat wasn't the only guy to have a mustache. You know, you really don't have to do that, Butch.
Yeah, we do. That's pretty
bad. So, you know, that's me in the 1970s as an operator, weighing about 120 pounds in my huckapoo pants in Brooklyn, Cuisine style,
nice,
you know.
Yeah,
so, all right, let's go one more. And really, you know, I never had a dream of owning a pinball company, starting a pinball company. I never really thought about having Pat Lawler design a company that I worked with. And when we first started the company, we rented some space from him. He probably thought I was crazy, and you know, everything went along. And the opportunity came along to have Pat get involved with the company, which was amazing, and I wouldn't pass by. And you have to think about something. You know, the last time Pat and John Yowsey were united to make a game from Pat's imagination and John's imagination had to be about 18 years ago. So this is really the first time that Pat's been allowed to do what he wanted to do. And, you know, some people say you can only sell licensed games, all right? You can't go sell a game without a license because nobody will buy it, okay? I got to tell you something. Last week, I sold almost 500 of a game that nobody even knew the name of, only because it was not a license, and Pat designed it, John did the artwork, and our team did it. And I can only tell you what's going to happen tonight once you actually see the game. You're probably going to knock down the Jersey Jack Pinball website ordering the game. Alan, go get him. Alan Seahack, one of the greatest operators in New York City. There he is. Ladies and gentlemen. I was at a show famously maybe a couple of years ago, and I said, well, people ask me questions, and tomorrow night everybody can get to ask us questions. We'll have the whole team. But tonight, I said, well, you know, is Pat going to have a budget? Is Pat going to have a time restraint? Is Pat going to have all this stuff? And I said, you know what? When you hire Michelangelo, you don't want to tell him how to paint the Sistine Chapel. Get out of his way. Let the guy do what he wants to do. And that's exactly what we did. Maybe we could have had this game here a year ago. I tell you what, it wouldn't have been cooked. It wouldn't have been spectacular. It wouldn't have been great. We don't want to bring any crappy games. We want to bring you great games, okay? That's what we want to bring you. It takes time to make great games. It takes time. We're going to get better. We're going to get one game a year, maybe one game every 9 months, and they're going to be great games. So I'm really thrilled. The other thing I just wanted to say about Pat, and you know, we all could say a lot of things about Pat. Pat knew as a little kid that it was really a lot more fun and it was a lot better to make your own toys than to buy them off a shelf. And tonight you'll actually get to see the latest toy that Pat and John and the team have created for all of you. So here he is, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, my friend, Patrick Lawler.
Before I get going, I want to make sure that a lot of times there's a misunderstanding when I get up to do these things. And for people who've come to Pinball Expo over the years, it always seems like it ends up being about me. And we'll get to that part of it. But
nice.
But when I started in this business, a game team consisted of 6 people. And now, a game team is almost 20 people across 3 continents. And my job has changed, but the point is that just like when you go to the movies and you see a movie by Steven Spielberg, when they roll the credits, there's 4,000 people who it took to build the movie. Well, in this room tonight, there's probably 25 people, and I want you all to raise your hands if you're part of the game team. Right now, raise your hands. These are the people that make this happen. And all the spectacular stuff that we put in this game is because of them and because I'm just crazy enough to think it up. So with that being said, I'm back. I feel like that guy who gets to say, "Let's get ready to rumble." Rob Burke just turned to somebody and said, "It's another damn game about wrestling. Are you kidding me?" No. There's no wrestling here. Are you all ready to have a good time tonight?
Yeah.
We're going to have a good time tonight. I know Jack already did this. I'm going to do it real fast. I'm going to run through it. Operators, raise your hands. Operators, everybody give them a round of applause. They are the people that keep this alive. First-timers who are here, first-timers at Pinball Expo, you people rock, okay? Big round of applause. I've been doing this so long that I'm now old and forget things. When that picture was taken, I actually remembered things. Now I forget most of what goes on during the day, and my team has to remind me. So keep that in mind as we go tonight if my brain wanders off over here somewhere. I realized that on my drive here today that it's been so long since I did a game that especially for the first-timers who've gotten to see what our wonderful hobby and what pinball is about, you might not exactly know who I am or what I do, and very quickly, I've done games like Banzai Run, Earthshaker, Whirlwind, Funhouse, The Addams Family, Twilight Zone, Red and Ted's Roadshow, Safe Cracker, Monopoly, Family Guy, and a bunch of others that I'm too old to remember. So that's who Pat Lawler is. And I'm really, I can't tell you how excited I am tonight to show you what it is we've just gotten done getting ready to show you. How did I get back here? Well, that's an interesting question. Do you remember that movie where the government scientist is retired and he's by the stream and he's fishing? And the helicopter comes and it lands next to him and they rush out and they say, "Would you come back and do this?" It was just like that. Except that there was no helicopter and the stream on my property is dry 9 months out of the year. Anyway, so Jack called me up and he said he'd like an original game. And I asked him pointedly, I said, "Honestly, Jack, does anybody care about unlicensed games anymore? It seemed to me that the only thing people were interested in by just perusing the internet lightly was, oh, I want the next movie, or oh, I want a band from 20 years ago, or I want something. Why would you go to them and say, I have an original game? Trying to build an original game for anybody who's come to any of our seminars in the past, it's the most dangerous thing in the world. Because if when we present you that original game, you don't get the joke, we've just spent a year or two of our lives wasting them." And so Jack said, "No, that's really what I want to do." And I thought that was amazing that somebody was willing to take that risk and to put that much trust in what I could think up and design for them. So I said yes. And then Jack told me something interesting. Jack said that he told me why he founded the company. He said, and I'm going to read this because I've got it written down here on a piece of paper. He said, "I have discerning customers who want full-featured pinball machines. They don't want the same old games rewarmed every time out." And I said, "Do you really mean I can put a lot of stuff in this game?" And he said, "Have at it." And what you're going to see tonight is, wow, did we cook the game. I'm going to grab the microphone down here for a second, but I want you to know something. Right now we're going to talk about details. And at Jersey Jack, details matter. Being full-featured matters a lot. We're back. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to show you our new platform. We've just spent the last 9 months redoing the platform that the game goes in. And you're saying to yourself, why does the platform matter? Well, the platform matters a lot because that's the base that we build everything in from then on. And while the first two games were a great platform, there's nothing wrong with them, the people who've got those games, you know, they work the way they're supposed to. But we're always trying to do things a little better. And so what we did was we went back and we somewhat thought about the design of the cabinet. Now, what we've got over here is this beautiful black cabinet. And you're saying to yourself, that's pretty boring. I hope that's not something that's going to be the game. But I'm going to point out some of the things in this cabinet that we've done that make a difference for what we do. The first thing is, look, there's no boards. There's nothing in there. That means that we can go back to building games with mechanisms that are as deep as we need to get them. And that's a pretty cool thing. The next thing that's obvious about this cabinet, or inobvious about this cabinet, is we've turned it up to an industry standard, which means that You don't have to raise the levelers to get it to 6.5 degrees. If you take it out of the box and have the levelers all the way in, the game is sitting at 6.5 degrees. And by the way, the bubble level that I invented on pinball machines in 1991 is back on the game. Now you say, that's not very exciting. You just put it back the way it used to be. But there's some other things we did to the cabinet which are pretty cool. The first thing is we've taken and we put the earphone jack and the volume control down on the front piece of the cabinet. And what does that do? Well, it does a couple of things. First of all, for the operators, it means we now have an industry standard door that you can swap on and off and not have to worry about the headphone jack being on the door. But we've done something else very, very cool with what we've done and moved it there. The software guys decided that since we moved that, we may as well do something more fun with it. If you're a homeowner and you want to play at home, what's the thing you hate to do most with your game? You hate to open up the front door and change the volume. It's a pain in the neck. You've got to figure out where the keys are because your kid just ran off with them. And then you can't change the volume and you can't play at 12 o'clock midnight because the family's sleeping. So, completely owner selectable in the software diagnostics, you can go in, and if you're an operator, it operates just like it used to. The volume is on the door, no problem. But if you're a homeowner, you can turn on that switch and you can change the volume without opening the coin door. Speaking of volume, we completely redid the sound system in the game. And we went through and we've got what we call a more matched setup going on here now. We boosted the size of the mid-range speakers in the game from what's in the games that were previous to this game. And we matched the woofer in the cabinet to match the sonic ability of the rest of the system. So now what happens is we have a more balanced setup that gives you a much bigger frequency range coming out of the pinball machine. And in order to do that with the cabinet we have, the two mid-range speakers, which are now located here and here, okay, are reflex speakers. They're pointing up in the cabinet and they come out at you through those grills. And the other neat thing we did with our sound system is, if you want to service any of the components of the sound system, instead of having to work with 20 screws, there are two security screws up in the front here. When you take the panel off, you can work on the speakers or do whatever you want to do with them. Now comes my favorite part of what we did with the cabinet. This is neat. Let's pull the glass out. And we're going to take the glass out. And look, there's the boards right where they belong on a pinball machine. And it's great. You can get in and do that. But you're saying to yourself, there's that stupid monitor in the way. I can't possibly work on all those components that are in this game with that there. So, simply move the monitor out of the way. It opens on either side of the cabinet, and you can work on what you need to work on like that. You can work on it while the game is, while the play field is raised. There's plenty of room. If you're in a pin line, it swings to either side, okay? And away you go, which means you can be running all your diagnostics here, okay? Do what you want to do, and when you're done, all you have to do is fold it back into the game, put the clips down, and you're done. Details matter. Let me catch up just a second on my notes here. All right. Now we're getting to the part of the program that you all came for. Because you didn't all come here to see an empty cabinet. I know that. We noticed We noticed, because we got beat over the head with it, that some of you like games that are based on comic books. We brought you each a comic book. Everybody's going to get a comic book. They're all coming to hand out the comic book that this game is based on. And it's our original comic book. So if you just hang on a minute, all of our happy minions here are going to run around. They're going to get you your free comic book to take home tonight. And this is what the game is based on. As Jack already told you, my mom always told me, it's more fun to make your own toys. Well, it's more fun to make your own comic book, too. While these guys are handing out comic books, and make sure you get your comic book. There's plenty of comic books. We're going to pop up a picture that I found in my archives. This picture is a picture that was taken in 1993. This is Ted Estes and me at the Twilight Zone show in Las Vegas, Nevada. We had just accepted the award for Addams Family being Game of the Year for second time. And we got an award for Pinball Machine of the Show for Twilight Zone. And I thought you'd really like to see what two young guys looked like back then who were really enjoying rocking pinball. And I've got Ted here tonight, and for the next part of the program, Ted is going to help me, and we're going to show you our new game. All right. We're ready to go here. Tonight we're going to take you someplace you've never been before. We're going to take you to a place called Quantum City. Quantum City has a really unique description. Quantum City is the alternate universe disaster city of the future. And in Quantum City, along with all the things you're going to see in a second, there's this ridiculously powerful phone. And that phone can dial up all kinds of crazy things that can happen in the game. So without further ado, game's called Dialed In. And when we're done, everybody's going to get a chance to play the game. We've got five of them here. And you're all going to get to play tonight, okay? We brought them all for you to play. I want to go over some of the highlights of the game, and I'm going to do it quickly. I promise I'm not going to get into anything in depth. We're just going to show you some of our technology and what we care a lot about. But before we get to high technology, I want to show you some other thing I dreamed up, which I think is really important for the collectors. So, if you look down here, there's this cute little piece of metal that's sitting on the apron. If you're a collector and you have a pinball machine, you want to see the artwork on your arch, right? But if you're an operator, you need to be able to put pricing and rule cards on your game, right? And so I thought to myself, well, heck, why don't we just take and put two pieces of metal here that hold the rule cards, and if you want to take them off, you can take them off and display all the artwork. And if you don't want to do that, if you just want to have the rule card, well, you can just put on the rule card. And if you want to have the pricing card, you can put that on. And that means that if you're an operator, you can operate the game, and you don't have to worry about damaging the artwork so that when you sell it later, you make money with it. And we think that's pretty cool. The next thing we're going to show you is that the game has a couple of moving targets in it. One of them is a little guy that's a mascot for the Quantum Electric Power Company. His name is QED. And when you hit QED, you get all kinds of lightning and thunder. Go ahead. Go ahead. Ted's going to show you. It's pretty cool.
This newscast brought to you by Dialed-In Electronics, leaders in advanced mobile technology.
That's our friend QED. We've got another character in the game who's in the back, and she's a 50-foot statue. Okay, and she's back there, and she is the mascot for the Quantum Mechanics Fix-It Company. And her job in the world is to attack one of the shots on the game and be able to divert the ball. These things were done by a couple of world-class sculptors that we have work with us. The next thing that you're going to see on the play field is sort of the semi-star of the game, and that's the phone. Our phone is happily sitting there blinking, but you've never seen any phone like that before. This phone sits there and it changes any color that you can imagine to let you know whether it's charged, not charged, ringing, not ringing, having an incoming call, or if the phone company in Quantum City just plain old wants their top secret phone back and they want it back badly. All righty. So, we've got another great thing on the game, and that is we've got our cute little 3D theater, the Einstein Quantum Theater, and we can show you some things on there. Think, there you go. So what happens is we can present cute little 3D images for you to attack, play with, do whatever you want, and they're part of the game. You'll learn to love them because what they do is they give you things, and they can also be a big problem for you. Is that all we had to put in the game? Oh, yeah. We got drones. We've got drones in the game, and the drones actually work. They happily sit there and spin all their little propellers and do things, and they're constantly giving you problems, which is pretty neat. It's pretty neat. All right. Drone delivered a package, right. So, you hit the drones. Inside Quantum City, a package is dropped and it's delivered to the theater. You get to pick it up and do what you want to do with it. And I think that's it, right? Is that all?
Shouldn't we show how the phone works?
Sure, go ahead. So there's a few disasters that can happen inside Quantum City that go with the phone, and the phone makes that happen. I think what we want to show them next probably is back there somewhere. Yeah, that one, up top. There's another thing that this game does that no pinball machine that we know of has ever done before, and this one's really special. Yeah? You know, if you have a phone and the phone's amazing, it has a camera on it. Our game has a camera. And it takes your picture while you're playing the game. It's called selfie mode. The camera does other things, and you'll learn about that when you play the game. We don't want to spoil all the fun for you. But there's a lot going on with that particular part of the game. We have probably... Okay. Yeah, we're going to... You ready? Yeah. You gonna put the glass on? Yeah, we're gonna put the glass on because we want to do something really special and show you a magic trick.
Close that coin door.
So, game's all sealed up. Looks like it's pretty cool. But wait, there's something special on the glass. There's a little sticker. It says dialed in connection point. Our game can do something really, really neat. Mike and Ted are going to show you. On the apron of the game, there's a place that's a connection point, and if you take your cell phone and lay it on the connection point, the game will sit there. Oh, I'm sorry. The game will sit there and let you know that the phone is connected. And when you get to multi-ball, why, my goodness. Go ahead, guys. We're going to see if Ted can do this on demand. Backhand. Oh. It's really boring watching other people play pinball, isn't it? He get it. He drained it. Luckily, it's only ball two. Let Mike do it. He failed. It's a real letdown. They're just going to set it up so they can do it quickly here. Anyway, the phone stays connected to the game. The apron tells you when you're connected to the game. And when you get to multi-ball, you can actually pick up your phone and play the game from your phone. And the cool thing about getting to play the game with your phone is there's extra things that the game, extra features that the game will give you that appear on your phone that you can only get by playing it with your phone. Now, you don't have to have a phone to play the game. Okay, you can play the game normally, and it plays, it's great, it's wonderful, it's all those good things. And one of the things we're going to do over the next 3 days is we're going to let you guys, we have an extra couple of phones we brought with us, and you're going to get to be able to play the game with the phone. So if we can get them to just set it up real fast. All right, ball one. Ball two locked. Go for it. Nah, you can do it with the glass off. Can you do it with the glass off, Ted?
Yeah, I can do it with the glass off.
Do it with the glass off. Just go. Oh, you got, yeah, get it with the glass close. Because the connection point for the phone is actually sitting on the glass. So for a demonstration, this is kind of unwieldy. But there we go. Okay. We're good. Go. There's never been a pinball machine with all of those features in it, that technically advanced, brought to you by a company that sweats the details, like Dialed In. I hope you enjoy it. Jack is going to come back up for a minute.
Hey, everybody.
What do you think of that? And that's just the beginning. You guys are all going to play the game. All right, Alan, get away from it. I just have a couple more things to say about the game, and then we could all go play. So, how much would you pay for a game like this? Would you pay $5 billion? Well, I can tell you what. It's not going to cost that. All right? These are the specs. We have brochures up here. I'm not going to go through all of it because I know it's warm in here and we all want to play the games. But we have two different games, okay? This is Dialed In Limited Edition, D-I-L-E, okay? So Butch, pull one more up for me. So this game is $9,000, okay? This game is loaded. She's got air conditioning. She's got your stereo. She's got your... It's numbered 1 to 6,999. And I bet I sell all of them. Aside from everything it has, I just listed one thing. I mean, the brochure is packed with things the game has. Too long to list. There is a big $250 only refundable deposit on the game. Okay? Again, that shows the financial strength of the company. We don't want your money, okay? We have our money. We'll build the games when the game... I know. He's still smiling at me, so thank God. Leonard's still smiling at me, so that's a good thing. So when the game is ready to ship, you pay us the balance and get your game. We have a collector edition game. D-I-C-E. Dice. So here's a game that's been created for really a discriminating collector. And this game truly celebrates the return to pinball by the collaboration of Pat Lawler and John Yousey on an original game with a commemorative plaque signed by Pat Lawler, John Yousey, and myself. The game has an alternative back glass art package, which is not on this game. And it's trimmed in a beautiful quantum haze color. And it's a wet look clear coat. It's beautiful, really beautiful. The brochure does not do it justice. You'll see it here in person. The game will have additional collectible items on the game, including unique Dialed In collector edition toys. These games we will build in the amount of orders we receive by December 31st, at midnight this year. The game would require a $1,000 refundable deposit. The game is $12,500. So guess what, folks? If five of you order the game, we're building five games. If 35 of you order the game, we'll build 35 games. That's how we're going to do it. That's the only way I think it's fair. Anyone who orders... let me say this. So... the other thing, actually, all the buyers of both games will get entered into a contest, the drawing, to win a lunch for two, a lunch with you and a guest of Pat Lawler and myself and probably some other people at Gibson's. So we'll be able to have a nice lunch. These shirts will be on sale at Matt's booth at Back Alley next to our booth outside. We're going to leave all the games in here on free play. And everybody tomorrow night, Butch, you want to scroll up? These are the shirts. I'm wearing one. And you know what it says on the back, right?
Pat Lawler's back.
Dialed In. Pat Lawler's back. Tomorrow night, we're in here. We have a deep dive, right? So it's not 20,000 leagues under the sea. Or anything like that, right? We're going to talk about how we made this. We'll have a pizza party, and we'll have a silent auction. So we brought a whole bunch of stuff that is kind of collectible, and it'll all be in the back. All the money raised will go to Make-A-Wish Foundation. And there's brochures up here tomorrow night. If you got a Dialed In shirt, wear your shirt, because Martin or somebody is going to take a couple of group pictures of everybody. And that's it. Let's continue the fun, all right? Thank you.